Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
All right, everyone, welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 32. First, I would like to say, you know, I know we're all hurting in light of everything that's happening in our country. And, you know, it's just a really tough time. It's hard for me to kind of put words together on how I feel about it. But, you know, I'm definitely feeling the pain. But, you know, what I want to say is just to keep our heads up and continue to fight for what we believe in. And we'll get through this. We'll get through this together and through unity. So I feel all of you, you know, I'm feeling it too. It's been a tough weekend. But you know, let's just continue to press on and do the best we can to impact change. And we had a bunch of IG lives again last week leading up to the release of my ebook and webinar bundle, How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience. It's been a really big hit so far. It released on Friday, May 29th. And, you know, I already have reviews from people talking about how helpful it is. And the idea behind it is just to help as many people as possible create their own podcast about whatever it is. You know, as I mentioned in all the lives, there's an audience who wants to hear what you have to say. So it doesn't have to be about business. It doesn't have to be about real estate. It can be about whatever it is you're passionate about. And so the ebook is essentially just going through, you know, how I got to where I am today, everything I did, different resources that you all can use. And the webinar goes into the visual of how, you know, how I monetize, how I organize myself, how I do every aspect of it. So definitely grab that. The link is in the show notes or in the link tree. Let me know what you think. I just want to help as many people as possible succeed in that realm. And also, we have a bunch of new resources in the show notes. Everything from side hustles, managing your finances, additional real estate investing resources. Definitely take advantage of those. You know, I'm very selective about who I affiliate for. And so, you know, I want to help you all overall, you know, and I feel like all the resources we have below will work towards your real estate and business goals. Definitely don't forget to leave us a rating and a comment. It'll help us reach more people and move up in the rankings. Also, please follow us on Twitter at Bread Podcast and on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. Also, sign up for our email list. By signing up for our email list, you'll get discounts, additional content, resources, and much more. And you'll also notice we have some cool vocals, new vocals from Donald the Voice. So really excited about that to step up the quality of the audio. This is only the beginning, and I'm very excited just to continue moving forward with you all through this journey. So without further ado, let's get into it. Shout out to our show sponsors, Mint Inc. Mint stands for the Minority Interdisciplinary Networking Team. Mint empowers young minority professionals with an interdisciplinary network for learning, collaboration, and the development of entrepreneurial ventures. Follow them on Instagram at Mint Inc. _USA, and look out for the next issue of Mint Mag.
So you want to start a podcast, huh? Well, we got something to help you. The Black Real Estate Dialogue brings you the How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience ebook and webinar bundle.
We are controlling transmission.
Come and put info into action as we show you the step-by-step process to sharing your successful podcast on a budget. This bundle is full of the exact details, social media hacks, and podcasting process we've used to gain 13,000 downloads and over 10,000 Instagram followers. But that's not all. As a bonus, you'll receive the exact super trackers we use to stay organized and free access to our private Facebook group designed to help you execute. Make sure you click that link now because there is an audience for you to reach. The How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience, the ebook and webinar bundle presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Here with me, I have Gabby Burks out of St. Louis, Missouri. Very excited for this episode, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. There'll be husbands walking by and everything.
No worries. It's all good. It's all good.
Thank you for having me, guys.
For sure. For sure. And so the backstory behind this is that Gabby reached out to me a while back with an excellent idea. And the idea she had was to launch a new segment of the show called the Black Real Estate Dialogue Residency. And essentially what the residency is going to be, is going to be a prolonged look at her journey as a new investor. She recently bought her first property. And so what this will be is essentially once a month, there will be an episode with her and updating us on how things are going, how her journey is going. And so I'm very excited just to kind of take a different approach and just kind of see what the journey is like for someone. And so I can definitely look out for that. Gabby, thank you so much for that idea. I thought it was excellent when you brought it up. So I'm really looking forward to documenting your journey.
Absolutely. I'm excited that, yeah, when I was doing my own research before I invested, I was holding a lot of cash and I was doing research and listening to a lot of podcasts. And I'm like, no one is like chronologically following or has followed that I know of somebody that just like jumped in and telling that full story from like closing date to, you know, tenant or sale or sold. Oftentimes in podcasts, they're like really big names that are looking back on their first purchase, but this is me and my first purchase now. So yeah. Any suggestions, any, you know what I'm saying, feedback is all communal to me. So I'm excited to kind of take it a different approach for the listeners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So first, I would just love to hear more about your background, you know, what your childhood was like, you know, what you saw, or perhaps maybe what you didn't see that shaped your view of building wealth.
Yeah, so I'm originally from the south side of Chicago. I live in St. Louis now. And after we left St. Louis, we left Chicago and moved around a bunch, but we eventually landed in Carbondale, which is where I mostly tell people I'm from because I went to high school there. In Carbondale, we rented, my family rented, my grandparents rented, a lot of people in my family rented. It's told to me that my great-grandfather was very wealthy, and he was the first Black to graduate from this and the first Black to do that, and he was an engineer and so forth. But as far as what I have ever seen, there's probably currently living about 100 people in my family, and nobody owns a house. From cousins that are, you know, well in their 30s and established to aunts that are 40, 50, 60. And this isn't a diss. This is just a mentality of, you know, just apartments and renting.
Right.
And so I didn't really see a lot of wealth. In fact, poverty has to be redefined to me like all the time because we were in poverty, but it didn't feel like it. And I know people often say that. And so, but when you look back, I lived in shelters with my family. With my mom and my dad, we grew up literally in shelters on the south side of Chicago, never owned a house, never had a key, anything like that. And so eventually I went to college. I got my bachelor's in corporate communications and I started going into nonprofit. So my background here in St. Louis, which I'm mostly known for, if you look me up, if you Google me, Gabrielle Burks is Conscious Fest. So I'm the founder and creator of one of the only Black festivals in the city. And so we have a Conscious Fest Day now here in St. Louis. We've been going for about 5 years. We have a huge team. We usually have about 70 or more Black businesses for 8 hours just coming out with live music and Black 4 or 5 streets. So it's really was really anchored in Black business, but mostly making a platform for them.
Right.
And it was really to take money and to live off of that because the mission is really to give back. Right. And so I spent a lot of my 20s kind of developing that process, developing that team, and then like almost like giving myself to the city because I wasn't making anything. But we always tracked, we did a really good job, had a strong team of tracking margins. And so my market, we call it the Black market, would make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. And ask our vendors, what did you make, you know, during these 8 hours. And so I did a lot of work around that. And oftentimes I would end the day because we would work a full year for this one day thinking I can't scale this in a way that I could live off of. I'm sure people have done it and they live off of festivals, but for me, it didn't make sense for what I wanted to do long-term. So I did dissolve that festival. I may pick it up later on, but I did dissolve that festival. And ironically, as I was dissolving it, I had already started real estate school. So I started learning real estate from a practical, almost government standpoint from real estate, like I said, school, and started going to real estate school, and then COVID happened. So we had $10,000 cash, and we'll kind of get into that and the decisions I made. But my background is not in wealth at all. Very normal, you know, girl. First in college in my family, and that's kind of a little synopsis of where I come from.
Definitely. Something I would like to expand more upon. I know you mentioned that, you know, there's nobody in your family, in your immediate family, or perhaps extended, who owns homes, and you know, you kind of grew up, you know, in various shelters and such. How did that experience as a kid, like, how did that impact you? Like, what did, as far as like your future and having a place to stay, or be, you know, eventually being able to provide a safe place to stay for others in the future, how did that impact you as a kid and now, that particular part of your experience?
Sure. I always felt like I am a hoarder of information. And so I always remember locking down information in my mind and saying, I'm never going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to be with somebody like that. I'm going to be this type of woman. So I was always filing information. In fact, a fun fact about me and my brothers, we're from Chicago. So Barack Obama and Michelle used to babysit us while my mom went to college. She went to DePaul. Wow. And so I literally remember being in their house and just not necessarily feeling wealth, but feeling like completion, if you will, like just feeling like this is a house, you know? And so, like as a kid. And so, I saw what I wanted, but I wasn't there. Right.
Yeah.
And so I did a really good job, I guess, of just kind of filing away experiences like Michelle and Barack, or experiences like my mom at DePaul, and seeing these college kids like pursuing something else, and filing away, these will be my experiences. And then I literally like sought that out. And I think that in terms of my journey now in real estate, I talk to my mom all the time. She was my first investor. She's a private investor in this journey. And she pulled out of her 401k because she totally believes in anything that I do.
Wow.
I told my mom, I said, she said, well, who will you rent to? Because what if they do this and what if they do that? And I said, I'll rent to people like you. I'll rent to women like you were. You know, you were a woman with three kids, single. You were going to school. You were working. When we left houses, we got houses once we were in the shelter. There wasn't holes busting in the walls. You know, you didn't set the house on fire or something crazy. I'll seek out women who are looking to do better. And I know that, like, I'll be honored in my pursuit, because it's coming from a righteous place. And so I definitely plan to rent out to women and children that remind and reflect my background. So
definitely. And I really like that. You know, what I gathered from that was, you know, you had certain experiences growing up, but you want to use those to help people who are in situations like you and your family were at certain times during your childhood. And I think that's very powerful because, you know, a lot of people, just generally speaking, they have a me mentality, and they don't come from a place of service. They don't come from a place of wanting to help others. But I think, you know, and I know even as an investor, you know, you want to look out for your partners. You want to look out for your tenants. You want to provide them with a good place to live. You want to provide your partners with a good return. And so, you know, I can definitely see how having that kind of attitude will be beneficial for you as you get into your real estate journey.
Definitely.
For sure. So you touched on it a little bit, but I would like to hear some more about why you decided to get into real estate investing.
Yeah. Like I said, I started going to, so I was working in nonprofit in St. Louis, as my general 9-to-5. And actually my, employer, laid me off, and, that's a whole nother podcast. But she laid me off.
And, you have time for it.
I was so grateful. Girl, thank you. So she laid me off, and, I got on unemployment and just kind of like was sitting with my thoughts. But I think the important thing to note in my journey, because we talk about what got me into real estate, I wasn't really interested in real estate. I thought it was too big for me. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be too hard. I thought it was going to be too much money. And it was like this mountain that I didn't want to necessarily, I was scared of. I was in fear. and I had my first son, and he had a brain injury. And so we were in the hospital for months, months and months and months. And I literally could not physically work. So I was working from hospitals. I was working from, you know, but I wasn't being productive. And so I got laid off. She actually laid off like 20 people. So it wasn't for my son, I don't think. But so I got laid off, and I thought to myself, I have to do something to where I am available to my family. Like, what can I do? I can't go back to like a 9-to-5, whether it's nonprofit or for profit. What can I do that I'm going to be able to, at the drop of a dime, go be able to see what my son is doing or assist my son? And so we also homeschool. And so there's just like all of these mechanics that make up who we are as a family and our value system. And I'm, so you almost sit and write like, what type of career can I have that still enables me to do these things? And real estate was like at the top. And so I had to take a personal inventory and say, what are my values? What am I good at? And what can I do if I really apply myself? And so I think my son's brain injury was a huge motivating factor on why I got into investing, and brought me to where I am today.
Wow. I believe that's very powerful. You know, I'm sure that that was not an easy decision to make, because, you know, when you think about 9-to-5 and you know, or getting another one, you just think about that check, right? You know, you're going to have that check on the 15th and on the last day of the month. But, you know, I commend you for just taking a step back and looking at what's best for your family, what's best for your current circumstances. And all that has just so happened to push you into real estate, which I think is even better. And so I would like to hear more about, you know, your learning. You know, what type of resources have you used to learn? Do you take any classes? I know you mentioned, you know, real estate school. We'd love to hear a bit more about that, because I know, you know, you're pretty fresh. So I think it'd be very relatable for some listeners to know kind of some of the things and people or social media, whatever, that you've used thus far to learn.
Yeah, no doubt. I think I have a lot. I think that for about 9 months, I was kind of picking in and out of real estate school, because it's just all online. So you're just learning, you're mostly learning laws. You're not really learning like application, just like the do's and don'ts. If you can decipher between what I'm trying to say, you're learning the laws, not the like actionable steps on how to be a real estate agent. And so I wasn't really interested in it. It was very technical. So I've been doing that, or I was doing that for about 9 months. And then I actually just got back on Twitter. So I got on Twitter a few months ago, and let me back up. I knew I wanted to get into real estate, but I was trying to find almost like a mastermind group locally. I was like, let me find people that are doing this, that are maybe millennials, that are of African descent. And I couldn't find anybody in St. Louis. I'm sure there's thousands of Black people investing in St. Louis. I couldn't find nobody. I found like, I have my mentors now, which I'll talk through in a minute. But at the time, I think that was important, because it forced me to go online. And I said, if I can't find a mentor in the city, then I'll find one online. So I literally called Brandon. I think he goes by Billionaire Invest or B Invest. I call him a mentor. I call Aisha. I call Big Cuz Draco. All of these people are like mentors. And I just like, I literally would, until I fell asleep, just go through their tweets until I fell asleep. And then I, from that, because it was not only like me that are doing things far beyond what I could have ever imagined. Once I've kind of like fueled myself with all of their tweets and all their knowledge, they would, a lot of times Brandon would drop links. I printed off everything he ever dropped. Any book they ever referenced, I bought, I read. So I started following people. This is how I went to class, if you will. I started following people who were already doing it. Black Wealth Renaissance, definitely another one. Side Hustle Pros, huge, huge, huge. Not in real estate, but just all side hustles in general. And so I started following all of these people and joining their Facebook groups and joining their lives. And eventually I actually started to have anxiety, because I was like, wait a minute, there's nothing. I got to a point where I wasn't learning anything anymore. They were just saying the same thing over and over again. Yeah. And it came down to, are you going to do it? And so there were several nights where I could not sleep, and I would stay up all night on like the MLS. And eventually started going to go see properties. So I kind of like self-taught through social media, actually. And it
that's amazing. That's amazing. And what I really like about that is, I mean, we're all on social media, right? We're all millennials. We all scroll through the gram and Twitter and stuff like that. But what I want to drive home with what you said is it can be used for entertainment and also for education, because there is so much free game dropped. It's not even funny. So, you know, if someone doesn't have a dime, there's so much free game. You're already going to be on social media, assuming you're somebody who uses it fairly often. You can budget some of that time. Go on real estate pages. Go on my page, making a plug. Go on, you know, wherever you want. You know what I mean? And so there's endless game out there on Twitter, on Instagram. And I think a lot of that stuff, you know, you may not consciously be aware of what you're taking in, but it gets into your subconscious too. And it comes out in various ways. So I think that's great. I think that's really great. Were there any other resources or any other people who you went to learn?
Yeah. So I know Audible is doing since COVID, because I just got into this in the last few months.
Yeah.
So they're doing, I think it's free books on Audible, the app. So I downloaded the Burr strategy, which is just buy, renovate. I don't want to mess it up. So you'll leave it in the comment in the description. But the Burr concept with the buy, renovate, rent, refinance, repeat. So I bought that book and I listened to it on Audible. But a lot of podcasts, and not just real estate podcasts, but just like building wealth.
Yeah.
And almost one out of every three or four was real estate. And it just kept coming back. There'll be somebody that did an app, and then there'll be three people that did real estate. And there was somebody that did a cleaning company, and then there'll be two people. And so I was like, okay, this is clearly, you know, almost like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
A lot of podcasts. But that book was a really big one. Also, of course, everybody says this, and so I'll say it too. Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah, changed the game for a lot of us. For me too.
So, but yeah, I think that is the extent as far as my like research and resources that I found through the internet and through books.
For sure. And then the last question I have for you, can you very briefly describe what your first transaction was? You don't have to go into great detail. We'll have time in further episodes for that. But could you just give like a high level overview of your transaction and what your plan is for it?
Yeah. So, bought a property on the north side of St. Louis. And again, we'll get into more details, but I bought it for $10,000 cash. And my plan right now, and I'm almost certain it's going to change, but my plan right now is to hold it and to put a tenant in it. Because I'm in between several plans, but today at 5:34, the plan is to hold it, to put a tenant in it, and to refinance.
That's amazing. And can you share more about the St. Louis market? It's a market I've heard about. And I mean, the Midwest in general is really great. A lot of cities are coming back. But what's happening in St. Louis?
Yeah, St. Louis is amazing for for real estate investing. So one of the really big initiatives that my friend, and I'll leave a link, I'll send you a link to a page somewhere, yeah. I'm sure somewhere, or some articles that he's an alderman of the 21st Ward, and John Collins, he pushed an initiative that did get passed, and it has been on the floor for about a year. So you can come to St. Louis, and you can buy properties for $1, $1. And there's just a massive amount of investors here that are buying very similar to the ones that people are posting on Twitter for $1. And there's a lot of stipulations, but I think the main one is that the alderman wants to see a 10-year plan. Or maybe it's a 1-year plan. Let me do my research. But a 10-year plan, I believe, of what you're going to do with the property. Because we have tens of thousands of vacant homes, tens and tens that the city owns, much like in Detroit or Cleveland. I mean, mm-hmm. It's pretty much the same when you talk about in black neighborhoods all over big cities. So that's a huge opportunity for any real estate investors, kind of partnering with the alderman, which is a strategic plan that I have throughout my whole process. I just got off the call with a call with the mayor a few hours ago. So yeah, the market here is fresh. It's really good. I've looked at homes for $3,000. I've looked at homes for $1,000. Looked at homes for a dollar. My home I bought at $10,000 was turnkey ready. I could have put a tenant in it, but I know if I renovate it, I can get more. Yeah. So yeah, it's a very lucrative market right now.
For sure. Wow, that's good. I can't wait to get into the rest of the segments, but definitely appreciate you coming on for this first episode. And, you know, for the listeners, we'll be having multiple segments, multiple episodes to kind of see her through this journey. And I'm really glad it'll be a real intimate look at every part of the process. And it'll give you a good look at, you know, what it's like as a beginning real estate investor and what the journey is like. So is there anything you want to share with the listeners for this first segment?
I think the only thing is that, so daily on my Instagram, every single day, I'm committed to posting in my stories a piece of the journey. And I think that's like super important. So I have probably 1,000 people that watch my stories every single day. And they're like, please don't stop posting. People are Cash Apping me. I don't even have my Cash App up. I think that's kind of corny. I'm sorry if you do, but I think it's corny. Begging me, can I please send you money? So somebody sent me $500. The other night I woke up because I had a ding on my phone. Somebody sent me $100. And I'm like,
what?
For the house. I know. So I'm not in any way asking for money, but I'm saying that I think the two things I want to leave with the listeners, one, tell your story. I think a lot of times we get into this, especially people of African descent, people here, African Americans, and I use African descent intentionally. We're like, don't tell people your dream, show them. And I'm like, that's really poetic. And so we really like poetic language, but I, in this season of 2020, I'm telling people my dreams. Every single day, Sam, I'm walking my property. If you go to my Instagram story right now, I walk through the property and I'm leaving comments and I'm leaving what went bad and I'm showing holes in the wall. I'm showing a mistake that was made. And every day people are like, you are literally inspiring me. I cannot wait. And I know that because I'm an organizer, we look at my past, I can easily make this into a class. And I already have students. And so when you tell your story,
I love it.
Opening up opportunity for people to connect with you, which is so African, it's so communal. Mm-hmm. And you open up opportunities for people to give, and we're giving people. And so, like I said, I've, on accident, like people are saying, please give me your Cash App. And I'm like, and I'm so like, but you know, my husband is like, just do it, you know? And so just be and allow people to give. People are like messaging us saying, can I come help? And I'll show like debris on the floor. Like, we're going to be cleaning this up today. And people are saying, I'm on my way. I want, where are you at? I'm going to come help. You know, they're locals.
Yeah.
And so please tell your story, tell your plans. You will be so surprised at people that want you to win. But also, lastly, follow me on Instagram, because every single day I'm committed to posting a story and showing my process live. And I think that it's really, really helping. And I'll eventually condense all of that and make something from it. But so I'm on there every day, showing the property, everything.
Yep. For sure. I appreciate it. And can you leave the listeners with your Instagram and Twitter?
Yeah. So let me see my Twitter. My Instagram is, I'm just doing Twitter. My Instagram is naturally__. So there's two underscores and then gabs, GABZ. So naturally__ gabs. And my Twitter is, it's @ATEMEGA1. We'll leave all of that in the show descriptions as well. So follow me on the journey. It's a daily, I'm there every day. Property.
Sounds good. Definitely looking forward to the other segments and just documenting the journey further in more detail. But everyone, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, and also the first episode of our segment, the Black Real Estate Dialogue Residency. Shout out to our first resident. Looking forward to talking to you all soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram @BlackRealEstateDialogue and on Twitter @BreadPodcast. That's BRED Podcast. Until next time.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.